After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now our second reading is on page 1169, and it's Galatians 3, 1 to 14. So that's page 1169. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So, those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteousness will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Do keep your Bibles open there. Imagine you're a Galatian, and you're at their Sunday gathering, and you're sat on a hard pew. And all you're thinking about during the service is all the other things that are going on around you. The roast, maybe, that you're having this evening. The work issue that's creeping up on you. But then you're suddenly met with some stern words. Words that bring your attention back. Words that start to make you feel a bit uncomfortable. You foolish Galatians. You foolish Galatians. Your hairs start standing on end. You're anxious about what is to follow, but another rebuke comes. Who has bewitched you? There's piercing silence. No longer are you distracted by the Sunday lunch after. You're tuned into the person reading the letter. Chapter 3 starts with nail-biting stuff. Paul is really going for it. We're in a similar situation to the Galatians. We're sat here on hard, cold pews. Our minds are probably wondering. And we've probably been here for the last couple of weeks, and we've heard the sermon on the first couple of chapters of Galatians, but in fact, they've just slipped right over our heads. We've been distracted by all the other things that have been going on in our lives. That we actually haven't even had, or we haven't even considered what God has been saying to us through his word. Well, can I urge you today to consider what we're about to read. These words are written for us here also. They are addressing us all individually right now. We could read them. Church at the Green, why are you being so foolish? Who has bewitched you? Words full of weight. But these words, in fact, will also bring light and freedom. And my prayer is that we would find a deep sense of joy in the gospel today, which will compel us to live wholeheartedly for Christ. Now, do please use the sermon outline that is on the back of the service sheet to follow along. The first thing Paul raises with the Galatians is, Christ's work is complete, so why add to it? Christ's work is complete, so why add to it? Stephen Lungu was part of a gang in Zimbabwe called the Black Shadows. This gang was infamous. They would regularly attack and kill people. One evening, Stephen Lungu and his gang were setting off to petrol bomb a Christian missionary tent with the intent of killing everyone there. Before they entered the tent, Stephen reminded them what the gang came for. This is what he said. Everyone inside the tent must die. If you allow anyone to escape, I'll give you a bullet. The gang then sat at the back of the meeting when someone came up to address the crowd. Stephen was immediately gripped. The gang beside him were becoming restless, but Stephen couldn't take his eyes off the preacher as the preacher explained the gospel promise. As the meeting progressed, Stephen was so captivated by what he heard that he went up to the front of the stage with his petrol bomb in his bag and accepted Jesus into his life. That evening, when he intended to kill Christians and ordinary civilians, Stephen started following Jesus. When Stephen started following Jesus, his intentions were wrong. It wasn't if he was trying to lead a good life. It was nothing he had done. And Paul, in the first three verses here of Galatians, tells them to look back to their conversion, to look back at the time when they started following Jesus. Look down to verse 2. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Paul is trying to bring them to their senses by asking them, did you become followers of Jesus by what you did, by keeping the Ten Commandments, by being circumcised, by obeying the law? Or did you, in fact, become followers of Jesus by hearing and believing the gospel message that was proclaimed? Paul is trying to get them to acknowledge that they did not come to faith through works. They did absolutely nothing to deserve it. And then he follows that up again by reminding them that they're being utter fools. Verse 3, are you so foolish? By beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? The Galatians received the Holy Spirit by just simply believing the gospel message. They're now being fools. They're being fools because, as Paul puts it, they're trying to attain their goal by human effort. The Galatians are now seeking to try and gain their salvation through what they can do, through their works. And Paul is trying to, you know, get them to highlight. He's highlighting to them how ridiculous this is. They already received the reward of salvation when they just simply believed the gospel message. They already had the reward of eternity. They are being utterly foolish. Their works add nothing. They're, in fact, wasting their time, and it's not in line with the gospel. Stephen Lungu received Christ as Lord when he was about to kill hundreds of people, when he simply heard the gospel message and accepted the gift of salvation. There was nothing he could add. The gift had been accepted. Many years ago, one Christmas, I was desperate for the new Game Boy. It was the toy to have. All my friends had it. So there I was on Christmas Day, looking at the presents under the tree, trying to eye up which one may have the Game Boy inside. I was then handed a present. Dear Ben, happy Christmas. Love, Mum and Dad. I opened it to find out that it, in fact, was the Game Boy that I wanted, the exact one. Now, it'd be silly if I played this Game Boy for the day and then handed it back to my parents and said, thanks for the gift, but actually, I want to earn it. I want to be really good. I want to be the best son you have ever had. And then can you give it to me? It'd be utterly ridiculous. I already had the gift. Why on earth would I want to suddenly earn the gift? I'm being foolish. But this pathetic illustration is a small picture of what the Galatians are doing. They already have the gift of salvation as they believe the gospel message. So why on earth are they suddenly ditching it and are now trying to attain it through works? It's silly. Now, we might be reading this thinking, you foolish, foolish Galatians, what are you doing? Why are you being so silly? But I think all of us here are in fact exactly the same. We fail to recognize Christ's work is complete and we try to add to it. Perhaps you're person A. Person A isn't actually a follower of Jesus. They haven't accepted the free gift of the gospel. And the one thing that puts off person A is that they think that becoming a follower of Jesus is restrictive, that they could never live up to the standards of being a good Christian. Or maybe you're person B. Person B is relatively new to the church scene. They only became a follower of Jesus in the last couple of years. And in fact, they're now struggling a bit. They're struggling to read their Bible. They're struggling to pray. They're struggling to get involved in a growth group because they feel it's beyond them. Often they think to themselves, I can't really be a Christian because I just can't live up to the standards. Or maybe a person C. Person C has been a follower of Jesus for a long time now. They can remember the specific date they started following Jesus, and they know their Bibles well. This person serves in many areas of the church. Refreshments, welcome, kids, music. They're even on the prayer team. They do a lot. And in fact, there's a deep sense of pride within them. Often, person C gets caught up in debates about Christian matters like baptism or leadership or the Lord's Supper. And they sometimes think that those who don't share the same views are wrong and are unlikely to, in fact, be followers. I wonder, which person do you find you relate to most? Can you see the problem in each person? Person A thinks that being a follower is about having high standards. Person B feels incredibly disheartened because they feel they can never keep up with the standards. And person C takes pride in their standards because they feel they're doing well. All of them think they can or add or need to add to the free gift that has been given to them. Christ's work is complete. We are being utter fools by trying to add to it. Secondly, Christ's work is complete, so believe it. Christ's work is complete, so believe it. Who do we consider for particular things? If you've been asked to bake a cake, you'd probably consider Mary Berry. You'd open her book and look for a recipe that suits you. Or you've been told you're going to be dropped off on an island for a week with nothing at all. Who might you consider for help? For me, it probably would be Bear Grylls, or I may go to Wilkie, in fact, but he's not actually here today, so. I'd probably read Bear Grylls' survival guide, watch his programs, and think, I can do this now. What about tennis? Who might you consider to improve your game? You'd probably consider the greats, Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, Rafa Nadal, Andy Murray. We all consider particular people for particular circumstances. But who might we consider when we think about faith? Well, Paul tells the Galatians to consider Abraham. Look down to verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We had Genesis 15 read out, and it's a fascinating account. There is Abraham, completely childless. Back in chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham is promised a land, a people, and blessing. But then in chapter 15, Abraham is still childless. You can imagine how he's feeling. How on earth is this blessing of people going to be achieved? I literally cannot do anything. Surely I can't believe God is going to stay true to his promise here. But God speaks to him again and reaffirms that this promise will come true, that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham believed God. He believed the promise made to him. And what does God do? He credited it to him as righteousness. Paul takes the Galatians straight back to this man of history. He reminds them that Abraham received the free gift of righteousness by simply trusting God's promise. Now, this is very deliberate by Paul. In the church in Galatia, Jewish culture was still very much apparent. The gospel was being distorted, and they were being told that works counted towards their salvation. So Paul takes them back to their Jewish ancestry. He reminds them that Abraham received righteousness by simply believing, not through works, but by believing God's promise to him. And then Paul tells them, verse 7, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations would be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Paul highlights to them that the promise made to Abraham by God would also justify the Gentiles. Paul shows them that what matters is not physical descent from Abraham, but spiritual descent. They are in fact children of Abraham if they simply share the same faith. It's not determined on whether they're a Jew or a Gentile. All they have to do is simply believe the gospel promise. So what does Abraham's saving faith look like? Well, he believed the promise. He didn't just simply believe in God, but he believed God's word. He believed that God would complete his promise. And Abraham's faith did not rest on his performance. Abraham was childless, with a barren wife. He couldn't do anything. But he put his faith in God's provision for a child. The promise was totally dependent on God. Paul is saying to the Galatians, can't you see this? Can't you recognize your ancestry? Can't you see how you receive righteousness? You receive it by purely believing a gospel promise. The promise that though we are guilty, wretched sinners, Christ was willing to take the burden of our sin and give us his righteousness. I'm sure many of us use a phone app to check our bank balance these days. If you don't, bear with me. With a few passwords, your bank balance is there right in front of you. Imagine one day you go to check it, and as you scroll through, you see minus 100 gas and electricity, minus 125 food shop, minus 40 petrol. It goes on. Then suddenly out of nowhere, you see plus 50, and you cannot work out why you've received it. Maybe a few days later, you go back on your app, and you see minus, 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 minus. You're feeling a bit sad here. And then suddenly, plus 100. And again, you have no recollection where this money has come from. A day later, you do it again, scrolling through, when suddenly you see plus 5,000. You've been credited £5,000 to your account. You have no idea why you have received it. It is now yours. You then phone up the bank, a little bit wary, because you're worried that if you're honest here, the £5,000 could go. But as you're on the phone to the bank manager, he says, no, it's your money, it's for you, it's a free gift. But imagine scrolling through your bank balance and seeing plus righteousness. And then you dig a bit deeper into the transaction, and you see a list of things. Jesus' perfection, Jesus' humility, Jesus' love, Jesus' kindness, and in fact, every attribute of Jesus is listed there. It is in your bank account. Just like the £5,000 becomes part of your bank balance, Jesus' righteousness becomes ours. And this is totally true for all those who believe the gospel promise, like Abraham. When God sees that we believe his gospel promise, he sees our union with Christ, and he sees Jesus' righteousness and perfection. I wonder, how are you feeling today? If you had to score your Christian growth this afternoon out of 10, what would you give it? If you've scored yourself high, you're being a fool. I'm sure most of us here have got pretty low scores. Mine is. But what do you do with a low score? Well, maybe you do what I do. Since getting married, I've realized how selfish I am. And during these times, I tend to call upon myself to be more sacrificial. I look at new ways to try and serve Izzy. And I pull myself together and remind myself that I need to lay down my life for her. Therefore, I start cooking more. I start cleaning the bathroom. I even do some washing. Now, these are all good things, but the focus on fact is still about me. The focus is on what I can do to be more sacrificial. Rather, I need to be reminding myself of the gospel promise. I need to recognize that despite all my failures, God loves me so much that he's willing to sacrifice his son. And when he sees me, he sees Ben. But he sees Ben with Jesus' perfection. And as I let this truth take root in my heart, it will certainly compel me to serve and give myself to Izzy wholeheartedly. Can I urge you today to let the gospel anchor all of your growth? Let the gospel shape every decision you make. It's the gospel which makes us grow. As we believe and trust in Christ's completed work, we will certainly grow. It will compel us to serve. It will compel us to love our enemies more. It will compel us to stand firm in times of suffering. It is the gospel that makes us grow. Keep going back to it. In Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians, he said these words: "To be convinced in our hearts that we have forgiveness of sins and peace with God by grace alone is the hardest thing." Let me read that again. "To be convinced in our hearts that we have forgiveness of sins and peace with God by grace alone is the hardest thing." The great reformer recognizes that this is the hardest thing. Naturally, all of us want to add to the gospel. But Christ's work is complete. Stop fooling around by trying to add to it. Believe the gospel promise like Abraham did. And know that as you strive to do one of the hardest things, God looks at you and he sees Jesus' righteousness. As I stand here today, I see sinners, including myself. But I also see people who God loves dearly because they are simply trusting and depending on Christ's death and resurrection. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that whilst we're still sinners, you sent your one and only Son to come down to earth to take the burden of sin, of our sin, upon himself. We thank you that this work has been completed, and we see that through the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we're sorry for the times when we try to add to it. Please highlight those areas in our lives that we're doing so, and help us to continually go back to the cross, to go back to the gospel promise, and to simply believe it. In Jesus' name, amen.